The first reading for today comes from Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. You can find that reading on page 652 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bible in front of you or up on the screen. Today, the prophet Isaiah celebrates God's kingdom that is to come. The conquering of death will be the highlight of God's new reign, and we are encouraged to anticipate. Listen now to God's word. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice."
Every now and then, a preschool class stops by my office, and it just makes my week when that happens. And this past week, in the midst of getting ready for six services that we had over this week, I was in my office quite a bit, trying to get ready. And sure enough, one of the preschool classes came in, and they each had a book. And they walked into the office and jumped around on the couch, which was right side up. Jumped around on the couch and then walked around the office some more. And then they were going to head out because they were just going to say hi, just stop by and say hi. But then one little girl took her book. I think it was called Dinky the Elephant. I didn't grow up with Dinky. I'd never heard of that book before. But she came around to where I was. I was behind my desk. She came around the desk and held out the book. And she said, "Pastor Bob, I have a surprise for you." And I thought she was going to show me the book and read it to me. So she brought it over, and I reached out for it, and then she put it behind her, and she said, "I'm not lying." She said, "Jesus is alive." I didn't tell her to say that. It made my Easter. It was awesome, and I didn't expect any of that to happen, but you know that there was a preschool teacher or a parent or a mom or a dad or someone training her and teaching her and telling her the incredible story that Jesus is alive. How many of you have been to an Easter Sunday service before? Raise your hand. I'm looking out there seeing who wasn't. Yeah, all of you, right? You've been to Easter Sunday before. You've heard this story before. You know the Easter story. And it's an incredible story, but it doesn't change. When you were little, some of you came to church here when you were little. It was the same story back then as it is today. Nothing has changed. The only thing that changes is maybe the person who tells it. You've changed, haven't you? Since you were a little kid hearing that story. You're a different person than you were back then. The world has definitely changed. The world is different. You're feeling different pressures from the world. Different realities are taking place in the world. So the story has stayed the same. This incredible story has not changed at all. But we're the ones who've changed, and we're the ones who are able to interpret it in just a little bit. By the way, you're going to hear that same story again. And we're going to be hearing it from Luke. So what we find today in Luke is a group of witnesses who hear the story. People who knew Jesus, and then they went to others who were just like you and me. We know Jesus. And they went and told another group of people who had actually walked alongside of Jesus throughout his life. But you know what happened? When they told them the story, it seemed too incredible to to be credible. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it at all. And these are people who had walked with Jesus. You see, telling the story and even hearing the story doesn't always lead us to belief. But I have to tell the story anyway. It will eventually. Let's hear the story again this Sunday. We find it from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, and these are the women who came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. So they were perplexed about this, and suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then, and only then, the women remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. And this was Mary Magdalene, this was Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who continually and repeated to tell them. That's not what it says up there, is it? That's what the Greek says. The sense of repeating and saying it more than once. We'll look at that later. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Now, Peter got up, and he ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this Easter Sunday morning, that they be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the whole time that we were in Israel, I'm still riding a high from those 8 days that we were in Israel. It seems like just yesterday, well, it almost was. It was, I guess, a week and a half ago. We were able to see sight after sight after sight that we could stand and say, you know, Jesus was really here. And we were able to see places where ancient stories were told, and these stories were attached to things that Jesus did in his life. And these stories were then written in Scripture, and they have, just like the Easter story, they've been passed down from generation to generation to generation. You've passed them down to your kids, just like you had the story passed down to you from your parents. But you know, not all the sites that we went to were we able to stand and say, well, I know for 100% certainty that Jesus was right here. There's some places that you kind of have to guess. There's some places that we call traditional sites, or we say that there's a soft connection between the story in the Bible and the actual geographic location. One of those places that we went and saw was one of my favorite places. It was a soft connection. It was a traditional place. And remember the story in the Bible when Jesus casts out the demons out of the guy and puts them in the pigs, and the pigs run down the bank and jump into the ocean, or jump into the sea. There's no ocean, I know. Jump into the sea. Remember that story? Nod your head. Nod your head. Thank you. That's the traditional site. Now, you see the sign? Pigs would have had a little hard time getting down that hill. It would have been entertaining, but it would have been a little difficult making it down. So that's the traditional site. We don't know for sure, but potentially that's where that took place. Another traditional site or a soft connection was where Jesus preached on the mount, on the Beatitudes, when he fed the 5,000, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. We don't know exactly which mount it was, but this is the traditional site. It's a church now. Doesn't really look like a place potentially where Jesus was. So what we did was we left this place and kind of skirted around. Doesn't this look much more like the place where Jesus would have preached to the masses? And so there we were. We thought it could have been the place. So there were places like that where the story of Scripture, you're not sure if it took place there. You knew it happened, but you weren't sure if it was at that exact place. But there were other places that we knew, all right, this is 100% match. It's a hard connection. One of those places was Capernaum. We know where Capernaum is today. And this is a synagogue from the first century where Scripture tells us that Jesus spoke in the synagogue. We stood in the same exact spot where Jesus would have been. So it gives me goosebumps. We knew that story is being reflected in where we were standing. Another place was the Valley of Elah. Who knows what happened in the Valley of Elah? Folks, we have a lot of guests here, so make me look good. Come on now. David and Goliath, exactly. This is the Valley of Elah, and it always has been for hundreds, even thousands of years. That took place well before Jesus. And you can almost see the Israelites up on that hill, and then surrounding there, you have the Philistines laughing at them. That was the place, and we got rocks from there as well. Not the same rocks David used, but one, no. But nevertheless, we knew that was the place. The last 2 days we spent in Jerusalem, and we spent looking at two traditional sites. The sites of where Jesus could have been crucified and then raised again from the tomb. First place was the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And then the second place was the Garden Tomb. And which one do you like better, right? Which one looks closer to the one? The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, when we went there, it was mobbed. And there were so many things in the church that it was really hard to find where this place was that they said that it was. There was this long line. We didn't end up waiting in line because just about all of us were like, you know what? It just doesn't feel like the place. It doesn't feel like this is where it could have happened. But then we went to the Garden Tomb, and what we saw from not far from where the actual tomb was this. What do you see up there? You see a skull, right? Remember Luke 23:22? And they crucified him at the place called the skull. Pretty neat. And then when you go down and you see a tomb, a first century tomb, and that could be the place. And we were all like, this has to be it. Then our guide, you know what he said to us? Something that I'll never forget, and I hope you'll never forget. He said, we don't know. We don't know if Jesus was crucified or raised from the dead in town in Jerusalem at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, or if this is the place, if the Garden Tomb is, we just don't know. But what we do know is that it happened. And then he went on and said, because I believe it happened, I have to tell people the story. I have to tell people the story. Folks, you've heard the story before. You've all told me you've heard it before. So why do you keep coming back every year? Because the story's real. And it changes our lives and it transforms us. And what we're going to do today is we're going to hear that story again. Sorry. I'm not really. The story, the Easter story goes that Jesus, the Son of God, an innocent man, was crucified and he was put to death on a Roman cross for a crime that he did not commit. An innocent man was hung upon the cross. But this man wasn't like any other man. He was God himself, born like one of us, walked upon the earth like one of us. And he suffered terribly before he died. And he suffered terribly even while he died. He died an agonizing death. And then he was buried in a tomb that wasn't even his. It was borrowed. That's the way the story goes. That's what we're told. But the Sabbath was very close at hand, and those women who had followed him even to the cross, the only ones who had followed him to the cross, they realized the Sabbath was at hand, so they decided that they weren't able to prepare him the way that he was supposed to be prepared, so they were going to come back the first day of the week, and that's where we pick up our scripture. It was early. It was dawn, before dawn. And they came early because they probably didn't want anyone else to know that they loved Jesus. They didn't want anyone else to see them making their way to the tomb. There goes those Jesus fanatics. Remember the woman at the well in Samaria, the Samaritan woman? When she went to the well at noon because she didn't want anyone else to see her. She was so ashamed and embarrassed. Maybe these women were thinking along the same lines. We just want to do this one act of respect and in quiet and in peace and be able to do it in secret as well. And when they get to the tomb, they hadn't thought out that whole rock thing. So they're getting a little worried the closer they got there. But once they got there, sure enough, the stone was rolled away and they were a little confused about that. Now, how did that happen? But that didn't stop them. So they actually went in to prepare the body and the body wasn't there. What verse 4 tells us is they were perplexed. Who uses that word anymore? They were confused. They had no idea what was going on. You know, we assume that an empty tomb is going to lead us to belief. We assume that the fact that Jesus wasn't present and the women saw that they automatically moved to belief. That's not what happens in the scripture. They moved to where I think many of us would be, which is confusion, perplexity. The story continues. It doesn't end there. Two men in dazzling white, we find in other gospels that they were angels. They appear and they almost chastise the women. And they give the women the Easter story. They give the women the story that he is risen. Oh, man, you are the man. Come on, folks. He is risen. That's the message that we find in verses 6 and 7. And they say a little more than that. They say, don't you remember? Jesus told you. How do you forget? The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and crucified on the third day, then he will rise again. Verse 9, what do we read? Sorry, verse 8. Then the women remembered those words. Folks, they had been told before. They had heard the story before. Jesus had told them, tear this temple down and in 3 days I will build it back up again. It wasn't anything new to them. They had just forgotten. But now they remembered. They head back to the other disciples. And they tell all the other, they not only tell the 11, but they tell all the other who were gathered. They tell them, surprise, Jesus is alive. Look what happens, though, as they're excited about this. As they tell the people who are closest to Jesus. The ones who for 3 years had walked step by step with him. who had slept outside in the countryside with him, who had seen him perform miracles. Jesus is alive. In verse 11, what we find is that the more things change, the more they stay the same. The disciples, they just considered it that, a story. It was just a story, an idle tale. It wasn't real. They didn't believe. I love verse 10 because it, I'm sorry it doesn't come out in the English, but in the Greek it's so clear. You get this sense in verse 10 that not only are the women's names listed, but also this desire for them to tell the disciples over and over again. The Greek tells you that it didn't just, they didn't just tell them once, but there's a sense of repetition, a sense that it happens continuously, that they tell the disciples over and over again. You know, Easter is that day that we hear that story again, just like the disciples. And it's one thing to hear this incredible story, but it's another thing to hear it and then consider it actually credible, to actually believe it. And if the apostles, those whom Jesus chose, if they didn't believe it, we got a tough road ahead of us, don't we? If the people who had actually, on that day of the resurrection, heard it from the mouths of those who saw the empty tomb, if they didn't believe it, well, what's it going to take? Well, let me tell you what it took for those disciples. It took the road to Emmaus, Jesus appearing. It took another appearance in the upper room. It took a barbecue, a fish barbecue on the Sea of Galilee. And finally, they made that connection. Just like the women, they caught on quick. They only had to hear it one time. And then they got it. The disciples, it took them being reminded over and over and over again that Jesus is alive. I love to tell the story, and I have to, and I'd break out in a song, except my kids are here, so I'd embarrass them, but I have to tell the story. I do. So this year you have me to tell you the story. And I know it's one that you've already heard, but it's one that I believe. It's one that's made a difference in my life. It's one that has sustained this church for 182 Easter Sunday. A lot of Sundays. It's a lot of times to hear the same story over and over again. It's also, I know, what has changed your life. You've told me about how this story has changed your life. The world in which we live, it considers it just a story. It's an idle tale. The society in which we have, in which we move and have our being, it can harden us. Because it repeats itself probably more than the times that you hear the story. It repeats itself and tells you it's not true. It didn't happen. Every now and then you come and hear again, it did happen. And we need to be reminded, though, don't we? Because things happen in our lives that push out that memory away. This past week, Emily Ott was back in the hospital. She had fluid build up around her heart, and we were very, very concerned, very worried. Everyone was. The doctor, when she first saw her, and she didn't tell the family this till later, she was 100%, after some tests, she was 100% sure. She didn't tell the family this, but she was 100% sure that the Hodgkin's had come back. So they took her back out the CHOP, and a night had to pass before she had her PET scan, and something happened that night, because when the PET scan came through and all the doctors were gathered together, those same doctors who were convinced that it had come back, they didn't see anything. And they unanimously were able to say that she was clear of Hodgkin. It was something else. The story is 2,000 years old. But it still relates to today. It's still today's story. And when we're able to grasp it and believe it, it changes our lives. It allows us to recognize that Jesus is still in control. Even though that cloth had a hard time coming off, it came off. Jesus came out of the tomb and he is alive. It's an incredible story what Jesus has done and continues to do for us. And this is why every Sunday, whether you like it or not, as long as I'm around, you're going to hear that same story again and again and again. And I don't know how hearing it today is going to affect you. I pray you'll remember who Jesus is, and that memory, that jogging your memory, will then translate into action and cause you to reset your priorities and put into context that which is truly important for you and should come first in your life, and knowing that when you have a relationship with Jesus, like a wheel with spokes, everything else comes from that. Or maybe this Easter, like past Easters, you'll come and you'll hear it again and it's just another story. It's just another idle tale. You're in good company if you do. The apostles thought that. It took them a while. But the longer it takes you to believe the story, the less time you get to spend with that same resurrected Jesus Christ here and now. And I'm sorry for you. I want you to spend as much time as you can with the risen Christ. I pray that you'll believe this incredible story on this side of your life so that you can experience everything that Isaiah talked about. I have a surprise for you this Sunday. It's a surprise for all of you, and it's a surprise that if you believe it, it will give you eternal life. It will give you purpose in life. It will give you a reason to live. He is risen. It's an incredible story. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you now, and we thank you that you have conquered death, that you rose from the grave, and that you allow us to have a relationship with you that puts everything in perspective, that takes our sin and washes it clean, that takes our lives and gives us hope for the future, that takes our illness and allows it to be healed, that takes our relationships that are broken and allow there to be reconciliation. Lord, you do all of that. So watch over us this Easter Sunday as we celebrate. Seems like the whole world is celebrating, Lord, but I pray that we'll hear this story and actually believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.